What's happening? It's Contrast Uncut, Season 2, Episode 16. I got a very, very special guest. I got a legend in the building. I'm talking about when I was a teenager, I was slapping their music. I was slapping Bone Thugs. I was slapping this artist as a solo artist. I mean, I've been rocking with this dude for a long time. He just don't even know. Right, ladies and gentlemen, I got Crazy Bone in the building. What's happening?
Yo, yo. What's going on with it, man?
Shit, man. Slow motion. Just staying out the way of this quarantine and virus free.
Man, I hear you. Me too. Trying to do the same.
Man, that's right. That's why we quarantine up and on this app instead of doing it in person.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
Man, I got a quote. Let me know how it relates to you, or if it don't, it's all good. It's Contrast Uncut. Talk how you feel, OG.
Okay.
Some people dream of success, while other people get up every morning and make it happen. Wayne Huizenga.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. You know, I mean, you know, we all start out dreaming, but you can only dream so much until you have to get up and make it happen. You know what I'm saying? It's nice to dream. To me, when you dream it, that's when you're planning right there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But after you dream and you plan it, you got to get up and make those dreams and plans work. You got to put it to work.
A lot of people think that deja vu is from the dream, and that's something completely different. Dreams come from in here. It's a visionary. It's a feeling. It's a road path.
That's real talk, bro. Real talk. For sure.
And, you know, it segues to my next moment. I got to ask you, did the game choose you, or did you choose the game?
Man, the game definitely chose me. Definitely chose me, because from a very young age, you know, I had a strong love for music. It really came from my father just playing, you know, just sitting up playing his music, playing the oldies. And I would come, like, while he would play his records, I would come sit right next to the speaker with my ear to the speaker, just listening to everything he played, you know what I'm saying? And, man, I just fell in love with it. And one day, I saw Michael Jackson perform, like, back in 1984, I think it was. Wow. And after I saw him perform that, I told my mother, I said, This is what I'm going to do. I didn't say this is what I want to do. I said, this is what I'm going to do.
Plan A.
Bottom line, you know what I'm saying? This is exactly what I'm going to do. And man, I just never stopped pursuing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. So when did you start rapping? What age are we talking about?
Man, it was like the sixth or the seventh grade. My brother brought home the LL Cool J album, the radio album, the very first LL Cool J album. And man, I was so in love with that album that I wanted to learn the lyrics to the song. So I started writing down his lyrics. And as I was writing down his lyrics, I saw the format and blueprint of how to write a rhyme. So I was like, shit, this all you gotta do? I think I could do it myself. And I started writing raps ever since then, for real.
The light went off. It was like, oh.
Exactly, like, damn, so that's how they do it. You know what I'm saying?
Man, you cracked the cheat code.
For real, exactly. Exactly.
Man, so how did Bone Thugs come about? Like, so, man, just educate me. I'm gonna play Brand New. I know the story, but I'd rather play Brand New and get the history coming out of your mouth, because it's so rich.
Well, man, you know, we first got together in junior high school. It was junior high school. Me and Lay met, and I had class with Lazy Bone, Home Economics, and then I had a class with Flesh and Bone, English class. So, and I had no idea they was brothers, you know what I'm saying? But they both used to do the beatbox, and you know, we used to be in the back of the class, we were rapping, and when they used to do the beat, I got the bright idea. I told Lay, I want you to battle this dude that's in my English class, not even knowing they was brothers. So at lunchtime, I set the whole thing up and I brought them together to battle, and Flesh was like, man, this is my little brother. I was like, what? It was crazy. So from that point on, we just started hanging out with each other, like rapping together, and just we just never split up after that.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So what was the moment where you guys got your confirmation of like, man, so we on to something? This is that moment where like, bam, we got our first big opportunity.
Man, we went through a lot on the local scene in Cleveland, you know, because back then it wasn't really a big music scene. There was a music scene, but it wasn't like a New York or LA or, you know what I'm saying? Because at that time, that's all that was popping. The South wasn't even moving like that yet. You know what I'm saying? So we was we was like getting all our music from the West Coast or the East Coast. And then we signed a little local deal with a cat out of Cleveland. We put out a local album, Faces of Death. We pretty much gained the whole city of Cleveland's notoriety from that album. You know, but then after that, everything just was kind of stagnating. We started getting in trouble. I went to prison, you know what I'm saying? And after I came home, we was like, yo, if we don't do something with this talent we got, then we're all going to be in prison or dead. No bullshit. We got to get up and at least try to make our dream come true. So that's when we decided to get up and come out to L.A. and search for Eazy-E. For real.
History.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, something I feel very, very good about, I got like goosebumps saying this. I'm talking to a person that's rapped with Biggie and Pac.
Yes indeed, bro, for sure.
Like, that gives me goosebumps because, you know, a lot of people, they overlook it. I know today is all about Nip. I do not want to take nothing away from Nip. Rest in heaven, you know, Nipsey the Great. But at the same time, there's other pieces to this pioneership that was built, and you guys come from it, and at the same time, you guys are the ones that was a part of it. Like, you guys were in the middle of everything and messing with everything on each coast where nobody was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you know, we was definitely blessed to stay neutral because I think the simple fact everybody took to our music the same way, even artists. You know, like, I still run into artists today that I meet for the first time that I've always been fans of, and the way they act about Bone and the way they talk about Bone, I just be in awe because I was like, you never know that this dude was a crazy fan like this, you know, or this singer was a crazy fan, you know. So it's really a blessing that we didn't have to get caught up in those, because Eazy told us, he was like, you know, early on, he even told us not to get involved in the beef with him and Dr. Dre, because he told us, he like, everybody is thinking this is a Ruthless and Death Row beef when it's really just a Dr. Dre and Eazy-E misunderstanding. And plus, I got way more plan for y'all. I got way more in store for y'all. That's exactly what he told us.
Wow. So.
Yeah, man.
So you was getting OG knowledge at that age, and were you guys really chewing it up and spitting it out? Or were you guys like, was it a while before you guys like, man, that's the truth?
Man, you know, we was young. So when he told us that, when he told us not to get involved, we were like, man, look here, bro. If we with you and niggas went up on you, what you think we gonna do? We gonna get involved, bottom line. You know what I'm saying?
That's what
we're
saying.
But you know, as we got older, we appreciated the knowledge he gave us because we did, you know, there was some animosity and tension there with Snoop and like the Dog Pound and all and that whole camp. You know what I'm saying? There were a few run-ins we had with them. Thank God nothing ever really got out of hand. But you know, me and Corrupt talk about it all the time when we get together. We always sit back and like, man, can you believe like 20-something years ago we was ready to take each other's head off when we saw each other? Like, no lie, you know what I'm saying? And now we just like so cool. You would never think we had those problems. You know what I'm saying? So it's a blessing. None of that ever got out of hand, and we still cool with those dudes today, for real.
Man, would you say time heals everything, or just the real person and everybody allowed it to heal?
Man, I think when everybody got older, with time, when everybody got older, everybody looked back and everybody realized what the hell was the beef over. Because he say, she say, or this person that. Nobody could come up with a real problem why there was a beef. Because like Eazy-E said, the problem was between him and Dr. Dre, but everybody else jumped into it. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
And everybody started squashing.
As much as I'm enjoying this history, I don't want to take away from too much of the history of you, because Bray, like, you feel me? This show is dedicated to you, Bray. As much as I'm enjoying it, I got more and more questions for you, bro. Like,
okay.
Through it, because that's a high and a low, right?
Yes, indeed.
How many more highs and lows did you have to go through as an artist and as a group member before you were like, all right, I need to get out this pit and make it a peak nonstop?
Man, it was a lot, man. You know, as artists, you go through a bunch of highs and lows, and you have to know when to act. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you just got to take it stride for stride. You know what I'm saying? And just take the good with the bad. Use every situation as a learning experience and actually learn from it. And don't just say you learn from it. You have to put that knowledge to use. You know what I'm saying? So you don't hit that same brick wall, because there's nowhere in hell. I understand you hit a brick wall once. You maybe hit it again, but you hit it the third time, you an asshole. Like,
real talk.
Real. No lie.
No, because I bring it up because, bro, no, through it all, bro, every time, like, I've been able to, I've seen you in concert, or I've actually met you when I was, like, 10 years old at an airport. Granted, I ain't had a mirror, none of this.
Yeah.
I walked up to you, bro, and it was all love. Like, you had your headphones on, you were slapping your CD player, waiting for someone to pull up at LAX. You took them off, you shook my hand, and it was love. And I was like, man, it's somebody I really listen, like, you feel me, look up to him. Like, that shit resonated with me 20 years later, you know?
Yes, sir, man. Yes, indeed. All love.
So, you know, I bring that up because through all those highs and lows, you're still able to be a humble person and still, you feel me, reach out to everybody. Because there's been other people, I ain't going to say no names, but they've knocked the phone out of my hand, and I paid to be in VIP.
Wow. Yeah, bro, you know, I don't, a lot of artists, like today, a lot of artists, you know, even when we was coming in, a lot of artists forget. It always amazes me how, before a person make it, how humble they are, you know, because they get doors slammed in their face and they humble and they just trying to make it. But as soon as they get on, they start treating people how people treated them. That's absolutely backwards to me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if it wasn't for these people that are supporting you, you would absolutely be nothing at all. You know what I'm saying? Right. So artists need to realize that the record company is not the first person to discover you. Your fans are. Because if you ain't got a fan, a record company can't do shit with you. Bottom line.
And that right there, I call that attracting wealth.
Exactly.
You guys were able to do, you guys attracted wealth. And the wealth was attracted by the labels. It was attracted by the publicists. It was attracted by everybody, including the fans. And you guys recognize that and continue to feed it. You guys didn't ignore it. That's why I love that air, because you guys really kept it to the grit and grind of where the money was at, which is the supporters.
Exactly, bro. Got to.
What's your favorite song to perform?
Oh, bro, it's, man, we do so many songs, bro. It's like,
but what's I'm one that makes it no matter what? Like, you know, there's certain areas you got different set lists, and what's one that just, it cracks the code every time?
Man, I would have to say, of course, First of the Month, every time that comes on, the crowd goes crazy. First of the Month and Days of Our Lives for me. You know, because the crowd gets so, although it's a slow tempo song, the crowd gets so, like, into it and mesmerized by the song, even still to this day. You know what I'm saying? It's, I just love the vibe.
You know, and that's so amazing, because 99% of slow songs like that you can't perform them in front of crowds.
Exactly. Like,
the energy throws it all, versus when you hear that come on from, it's a vibe. Like, and that's before we knew what a vibe was. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. Definitely.
So I got to bring up this question, and I ask every single guest of mine, it's my awareness segment. And you know, the idea is that we got youngsters that don't know what to do in situations when they get pulled over. And so I ask all my guests when the last time they were pulled over, or a memory that stands out from the last time they were pulled over. And the idea is that, number one, we're still standing. We're not 6 feet deep. If we sat, we got up, we moved on, and we got through the process. Yeah. So, you know, shine some light, OG.
Man, definitely. You know, I know a lot of people get upset because they feel like this is how it should be, or we shouldn't have to go through this, or, you know, but you have to remember, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. If you know that these police officers will kill you and they will get away with it, What's the fuss?
Right.
You need to just be happy and thankful that you're walking away from this situation, because I've seen a lot of people get pulled over and the cop wasn't even tripping, but they were just so aggravated that they were pulled over that they made a scene and it wasn't necessary. Then that made, you know, that agitates the cop, and then, you know, then it turns into a situation. And I've also seen situations where the cop pulls up and the cop is the aggressor. In all those situations, man, the best thing to do is just to comply. You know what I'm saying? We know these officers, all of them, ain't wrapped too tight. We know some of these officers are crooked, you know, but we have to remember we're going up against a system that was designed against us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The system was designed against us. The system is not broken. It was intended to be like this. It's not broken. You know what I'm saying? So we have to remember that. We have to remember that we're the targets. You know, we're the main target. It was designed to keep us down and to get rid of as many of us as possible. So if you want to stay alive and keep living, man, just comply. It's the best thing you can do. I know it feels like bullshit and we shouldn't have to go through this, you know, but I mean, if you look back in history, we've always had to go through this. And nothing's going to change until God decides to step in and change it. So until then, we just got to deal with it. Like we got to deal with everything else in life.
That's real talk. Man, I appreciate you shining light on that. Because
yes, sir.
There's a lot of people just don't know. I get it. Some people be like, man, I've never been pulled over. Knock on some wood. And so what are you doing not to get pulled over? Let these people know so that they can embody that character so that they keep on moving.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. No, that's real.
Man,
I've been pulled over several times. And, you know, I just go with the flow, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, fortunately, I haven't had any cop pull me over that has been, like, aggressive, like what you see in these videos and stuff like that. So I've never like experienced that situation, but you know, I know a lot of my partners that have, you know, and I was with them, you know what I'm saying? So I could definitely understand people's, you know, like how people could feel about that situation.
Man, while we're talking about, you know, being on the road, getting pulled over, can I get one fun story from the road, from tours?
Bro, man, it's just so many, bro. I can't even think.
There's always one where you like, man, have you heard this story before? Gotta have one of them.
Bro. Honestly, I don't. But it ain't nothing I can think of off the bat right now, because like it's so many stories. You gotta understand, we like the Rolling Stones of hip hop. We stay on the road.
Right.
24 all the time. So it's just a lot of stuff that goes on, man. You know what I'm saying?
Man, shout out Bobby D.
Yes, thanks, indeed. Man. Shout out Bobby D. Much love, family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, is there a ritual before you guys perform?
Man, what we do is, no, we basically, we all come together, make a circle, and we just say a prayer. We've been doing that since we've been performing, like since the beginning. We've never done a show without saying a prayer with each other before. Yes, indeed.
All right, so I do this thing called Trading Places, and what this segment is we, you know, from the movie Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, and how they, you know, they switch their lives and it completely changes, and you know, the youngsters like to think of Freaky Friday, and so that's the whole idea. We're gonna take two iconic people's lives and switch them. And number one, will it work? And number two, what would life be like that? And so today for you, OG, I got Oscar De La Hoya trading places with Mr. T.
Oh, wow. What would it be like? Oh, man.
Would it work? You think Mr. T would be a cold-ass boxer from Mexico?
I don't know. I don't know if that would work. I don't know if that would. I mean, you know, I know Mr. T did like a little boxing or whatever, but, I don't know. I don't even know if De La Hoya could fit his shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Mr. T was a beast, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
For real.
18.
And Yeah, and Oscar might not hope be able to hold all that gold up on his neck like Mr. T. You know, that nigga has so much gold. I'm like, nigga, don't your neck hurt, nigga? Dang.
Bruh, like, you did workouts just to put this on.
Yeah, hell yeah, shit was crazy, for real. That's crazy.
So he said, no, it won't. Now,
no, I don't think it'll work.
What would life be like if it did happen? One thing you think would be different. You think Mr. T would have knocked out Mayweather?
Oh, yeah. I think Mr. T would have, I think Mr. T would have went, I don't know. I don't know if it would have knocked him out, but he would have showed Gamer like it came down to tooth and nail. You know what I'm saying? I think.
I feel like Mayweather would have had like some gold on his trunks that night instead of, you know how he came out with the Spanish flag or Mexico flag? He'd have gold on.
Yeah, definitely. Man, he would have done something like that. He would have came out with a whole bunch of gold on his neck, something like that. Real talk.
What do you think the role would be like in A-Team? Is the last question about it.
His role?
Yeah, what do you think, man, Oscar De La Hoya would have been like on A-Team?
I don't know. Because Mr. T was hard, man. I don't know if De La Hoya could act that hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mr. Yeah. T was like, people were scared of Mr. T, you know what I'm saying? Because he pitied the fool, for real. You know what I'm saying?
For real. Man, that statement's still around because it was such a gangster person saying it.
Exactly. Real talk.
All right, so my next segment is a impulse Q&A, and I got pretty much these deck of cards. They don't pay us, so I don't say the name of their company, but it's still good questions. And the idea is impulse, you know, whatever comes to your mind. It's random. I'm selecting them randomly. I have no idea what's on the cards.
All right.
It ain't a magic trick, but they're real questions.
Okay.
Question number one. And you got the option to pass on one question.
Okay.
What's your worst roommate or house guest story?
Let me see. My worst roommate or house guest story. Okay, oh yeah. Back in the day, I let one of my homies steal my house. You know what I'm saying? Just like back in the like late 90s, I let one of the homies steal my house. You know what I'm saying? Woke up the next day, the nigga had took the keys to my car and was driving my shit in the neighborhood. Like, yo, man, that shit pissed me off so bad. I was like, son, like, who the fuck told you to get my keys and get my fucking car? Just cause I let you stay in my, and the nigga was gone for like a good minute. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna kill this nigga when he get back. So, like, for real. Bro, a nigga came back, man, I put the nigga out my fucking house, man, never talked to that nigga again, for real. No luck.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
He deserved it, bro. He fucking shit off.
Yeah, real. I'm like, nigga, you lucky nigga I ain't put a bat across your motherfucking head, for real. That boy's tripping, for real.
People forget how much work and bruh, see, work and sacrifice is what really goes into what you have. When you buy them things, that's something I get to hold and grab that shows for what I did.
Exactly.
Hold it lightly and play with it? Come on.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't no joke to me, for real.
Question number two. If you could look through one person's email without them knowing, whose email would you look through?
Whose email?
I think that's what I'm gonna pass on, because I really don't care to look through nobody's email, really. For real. All
right. Shit, I ain't gonna lie. I would say Donald Trump, because I want to know what the fuck he know that we ain't know that he holding back.
That's true right there, bro. That's real true.
But I'm gonna replace that question.
Uh-huh.
Question number two. What's something I would never guess about you?
Like, a lot of things people don't know about me is that I sit up and I listen. I like classical music, like, you know what I'm saying? Like Wolfgang and You know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm listening to stuff like Nat King Cole and Tony Bennett. And, you know what I'm saying? Like people like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like that music is like, it's timeless to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not timeless, but during that time, it was the soul music of that time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I love going back and like just listening to it and imagining what they were going through or their mind state at the time of making those songs, like real talk.
Is there like anything you do before you get in the booth, before you make a hit? Like, is there some type of, any type of ritual like that? Do you pray before you get in there or?
No, man. Basically, when I go to the studio, I'm usually just ready to get in the booth and knock out what I came to do. So I pretty much just go to the studio, go in the booth and get down. Yes, indeed.
He said, I don't play no business. It's all exactly. Business.
Exactly.
If everything in your house had to be one color, what color would you choose?
It'll probably be something not too dark, like a light grayish. Light gray or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Because I gotta have some type of brightness. Having shit too dark is depressing, you know what I'm saying? I gotta have some light in the house, for real.
Oh yeah, real joke. I see the background yellow. Background of mine is blue, is green. I got all type of colors in my house.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? Gotta be bright colors, man, for real.
Man, because we've been through enough dark times. We need to keep these days bright, at least with the walls.
Exactly, for real.
So, bro, what are you most excited for coming up?
Man, you know, I'm working on releasing my new strand, my new weed brand, cannabis brand, Leaves of Legend. You know, I'm also releasing an album along with that when it drops called Leaves of Legend as well. It's going to be the first weed album that I do with nothing but weed songs on it. I'm working on a Thug Mentality bonus CD of songs that I didn't put on the actual album, that didn't make that album. I'm working on that as well. And I'm, man, just doing a lot of things. I mean, when all this stuff blows over, I'm looking to build a rec/academy/museum in Cleveland, Ohio for artists and entertainers that made it out of Cleveland. And I'm going to teach people, you know, like skills as far as, you know, like engineering, songwriting, artist development and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to start that program up for people back in Cleveland, because everybody that's ever made it out of Ohio or Cleveland had to leave there. Nobody has actually stayed in the state or city to make it. Everybody had to leave. And there's a lot of people from there that has made it, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to go back and pay homage to them and just set something up in Cleveland to where they don't feel like they have to leave the city to be heard or to have their music, you know, heard. Like give the youth back there something to look forward to. Definitely.
That's right. That's right. See, and you leaving a legacy for people not only to have, but to hold, to take with them for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. Yes, indeed. Yes, that's indeed.
So, man, I think you just took away my next question, because I was gonna say, what's something you trying to leave behind before, you know, you said I'm retired, I'm done making music, I'm done touring, I'm just gonna listen to music and chill.
Yeah, man, pretty much that, and you know, with me doing that, I'm going to, you know, like back to what we were talking about is like when you do make it. Just teach people like the principles, like when you do finally make it, it wouldn't be wise to act like you're better than anybody else. Because at one point you was that dirty, grimy nigga that nobody gave a damn about. And just because you made it, don't mean you're not still that nigga deep down inside. You just made it, you know what I'm saying? So why change your attitude? You know, I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? It's cool to be happy and confident that you made it. But I don't think it's ever cool to look down on people once you do. Like, y'all ain't shit. Well, nigga, you wasn't shit at one point either. So let's keep that same energy and just give people love and give them the game back on how your experience was and what you did to make it. And you know what I'm saying? Like, right, that's what it should be. It shouldn't be no niggas being arrogant and conceited. You know what I'm saying? They should be like, okay, I made it. Now my job is to make sure the next person knows what they need to do to make it. Because you're not going to be in that position forever. Nobody right. is. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well enjoy it and then make room for the next person to come in behind you. Bottom line, that's all you can do.
And, you know, it's so crazy that you say that, because a lot of these people, they're going to be like bubblegum. Once the flavor is gone, it's gone. Versus, like, you guys are part of the bubblegum being made. Like,
true. Real talk, bro.
You can't talk about this without talking about y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
So I want to make sure I give you my flowers for that, bro. And I know it sounds corny, but it's the truth, man. A lot of people don't give people flowers for all their success and the continued success, because you still hungry for it. You hungry and humble.
Oh yeah, definitely, bro. Definitely. Still going on.
So while we talking about strains, what's your favorite strain? And is your stuff indica or sativa?
I got all three. I got indica, sativa. I got a indica. Hybrid. Yeah, hybrid and sativa. The indica, the hybrid is called 99 after 99th Street. The sativa is called Eternal. And the indica is called Family Tree. You know what I'm saying? So I'm naming all my strands after bone songs. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is.
Smart.
Yes, indeed. Real
smart. Because it puts two and two together. And you know what? People have been smoking to y'all music since the music came out.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. For real.
So why not say you smoking that while you listening to it?
Hey, man, might as well. For real.
Before you had your own strain, what were you on?
Man, I was just, you know, I was, well, you know, I was, I kind of laid off the smoke for a while, you know what I'm saying? But I was messing with on the OG Kush, Granddaddy Kush, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I'm into the liquid THC, like the syrups and the edibles. You know, a lot of people don't mess with them because they can't handle them, but you know, I done trained myself to be able to like deal with them, you know what I'm saying? Made many mistakes where I almost thought I was going to die from this shit, but you know what I'm saying? I can handle them now, for real.
For real. Man, yeah, all right. So before I get up out of here, I always flip this on my guests because number one, no one does it, and number two, it catches you guys off guard. You got any questions for me?
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, what made you start doing like wanting to do what you do?
Bruh, like, I have a lot of relationships with people in the industry and been involved in it for a long time. And I had my brother I was managing. And you know what it's like trying to get people to do stuff for you and do stuff for them, but they believe in you, but they don't believe in who you believe in.
And so
pretty much I had to say, you know, I got to make my relationship work. What's something that I can do? And I noticed all my conversations with them were like big conversations. Like,
yeah.
I was getting success stories. I was getting history. I was getting all these monumental things. And I'm like, you know what? I gotta transfer this into something. And then people to tell me no a whole bunch of times before I came up with my own show. And I got a blessed situation to interview Bobby D. And Bobby D offered to present my show. And then, you know, God's been good to me. It's been downhill.
Bro, that's dope, bro. That's real dope. Yeah, man, Bobby D a cool brother, man. Definitely. He definitely helping us out a lot. But what are you doing with us? You know what I'm saying? It's hats off to that brother, for real.
Absolutely. And then, bro, like I said, it's an honor and a pleasure, man. I ain't trying to sound too corny saying all that to you, bro. You probably hear it all the time. But then again, it may never get old.
Hell yeah, bro. Bro, I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how many times people say it, I always appreciate it. Like it's the first time being said. No lie, for real. Because when it's gone, it's gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk.
Man, it's Contrast Uncut, Season 2, Episode 16. I've had the legendary Crazy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony on the episode, chopping it up, going through some history. I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, indeed, bro. All love. What up, y'all? This Crazy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony, the world's most influential rap group, right here with Contrast Uncut, doing it up thug style. Y'all know how we do. Much love.
Yeah, yeah.